It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. He's Greg Pickle. We are continuing our look ahead at spring football, our storyline series, what we can expect to hear, what kind of buzz, what to be watching for this spring. We've tackled a bunch of positions so far. You can check all those out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. We're continuing now with running backs, which is a, wide open could be said. Intriguing, yeah. It would be another word.
Definitely intriguing.
You lose... Miles Sanders a year early to the NFL draft. He spent 1 year as a starter following Saquon Barkley. So now you have one candidate who I think in a lot of our eyes is the guy to take the biggest burden of all. But you don't really know how things are going to shake out, talking about Ricky Slade there as our potential lead. But the change in approach could be interesting because you have a lot of backfields now in college football that operate in a not so much a clear one and then a clear two, but really more of a 1A, a 1B situation. In Penn State's case, you could have a 1A, you could have a 1B, you could have a 1C. They could really choose to divvy things up. So I'm curious this spring, Greg, what we start to learn about Penn State when it comes to having a lead back versus a committee situation.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, so with Miles Sanders, it almost feels like that he was the only show in town. I mean, they did at times go to Journey Brown and Ricky Slade a little bit, but for the most part, it was just give Miles the ball and feed Miles some more, you know, feed him as much as humanly possible. So with that came obviously a good year for him and the chance to probably go maybe on day two in the NFL draft. So he got out of the year what he needed. But the question now is, does Penn State continue to operate like that, or does it decide to go in a different direction and really do a committee approach where it, you know, to go back to the days of Bill O'Brien? Remember when it was always, let's ride the hot hand. That's what we did with Zach Swinak and Bill Belton and who's the guy I'm missing? It was Swinak, Belton, and somebody else. But
well, Lynch was in that mix.
Yeah, Akil Lynch was in that mix. Yep. So could we have that again? I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like it doesn't work. You know, it almost goes back to the whole idea of, well, you know, we have six offensive linemen who we all feel are starters. That means you don't have five starters that you feel like are the guys. So is it the same thing at running back? I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Sometimes you put guys in for a change of pace or, you know, to fool the defense a little bit. That can help. So we'll see what Penn State decides to do, but it feels more – so Miles Sanders got like, what, 70% of the carries, 80% of the carries last year? It was darn close to that. I think now moving forward, we could see closer to 50-50.
Yeah, and you got some other candidates who are coming in who are going to merit some touches. Start with Noah Kane, who's on campus now. He's a bigger, stronger, more physical back. I understand that our colleague Ross Tucker is not the highest on him, but I respectfully disagree with that. And I think that as much as anything, I think he's a talented guy who runs with that sort of aggressive mentality, who runs with what you see in, you know, a Marshawn Lynch, for example, the violent kind of running style. And I think that that's not how you would characterize Saquon Barkley or Miles Sanders or many more recent running backs for Penn State. So in that respect, that's why I think Noah Kane is somebody you absolutely have to watch this spring and all through the summer too, because he brings something different to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a size, a little bit of a size. So Journey Brown's more of the Miles Sanders, Saquon Barkley size. Ricky Slade is not quite that big. And then you have the freshmen who kind of are a little bit kind of in that ballpark, but not quite. So I don't know. I understand, I guess, where Ross is coming from. But to me, man, if Noah Kane is not an impact player as a true freshman, I'll be shocked. And, you know, you can write that down and play it back to me in November if he's not. If he's not performing all that well. But to me, I just think that he's a guy that is tremendously talented. And that's really what Jalen Sider's going to have to figure out here, along with Ricky Ronnie, James Franklin, and the offensive staff. What do they, you know, what is their plan? What is their best plan of attack? Are they going to simply just, you know, are they simply just going to play one guy and pick that guy and ride him? And, you know, it was 80% for Miles Sanders last year. Is Ricky Slater, Journey Brown, or Noah Kane or somebody going to get 80%? I have a hard time seeing it. To me, it would make more sense to have them go, you know, more, I don't know, 60, 30, 10. Does that sound right? Or, you know, 50, 40, 10,
I think that's
40,
how it
10,
usually goes.
Like
I think
yeah.
That's how it usually goes. Yeah, and in a moment, I'll pull up. I'm curious, like Georgia, for example. They have been one to mix and match their guys. And what's the breakdown going to be like? I think that's a fair question. You have Devin Ford coming in, too, who I don't know that he's the odd man out, but you can't have Devin Ford be an instant impact freshman. You can't have Noah Kane be an instant impact freshman, and you can't have Journey Brown be a breakout candidate, as you mentioned Barton Simmons wrote. So all those scenarios are not possible. The question is, how does it start to shake out as we look ahead to the spring and the summer too? So the big question is, who starts to emerge and how does the depth chart start to take shape?
Yeah, I mean, spring practice will be so interesting because at this point, Penn State, you would assume it's going to go with Ricky Slade first. So we know that, you know, James Franklin came out and said that Tommy Stevens is the guy at quarterback. And then Sean Clifford and everybody else falls in line after that. So the question in my mind becomes, who is the first guy at running back? I assume it's Ricky Slade. I have no reason to think it's not. But what if it's Journey Brown? You know, the way Spartan Simmons' CBS Sports piece read was that he's the guy that's kind of quietly taking the team by storm during winter workouts. Can he continue that in the spring practice? We'll have to wait and see. But if he can, maybe he's the guy that gets the first ask. I don't know. Keep in mind, Noah Kane's on campus too. But Penn State, just 4 scholarship running backs. So, you know, it's not as if there's a whole bunch of guys they have to cycle through here. This should be decided fairly quickly and painlessly. And I think that, again, like we talked about, you're going to get a pretty good rep share, I think, for these guys in spring practice and in summer camp. I think that'll carry over to the season as well.
So interestingly, I brought up Georgia's backfield because that's the first team that comes to mind over the last 2 seasons for sure. Alabama does this too. But last year they had DeAndre Swift, who is, you know, an early 2020 draft guy to consider, a Pennsylvania kid down there. And it's almost a 50-50 carries with Elijah Holyfield,
right,
who was a little older guy. So it's not unheard of that you have Ricky Slade and insert player here be
right
close to 50-50, and then, you know, have another guy or another couple guys, you know, end up with that 40, 50, 60 carries. That is exactly how Georgia ended up playing it out last year. And not that Penn State's trying to beat Georgia.
Right.
But I'm just looking situationally. Ricky Slade would be my choice to lead the way. But is he really a guy that you're going to feed 240 times over the course of a season?
Can he hold up for that many?
Can he hold up for that much? He's very dynamic. But are you better served having him go 12 to 15 touches a game and having Journey Brown go 8 to 10 and having Noah Kane go 8 to 10, for example? You could really start to see a pretty true three-headed attack. That's my expectation. Yeah. I don't know if that's right or wrong. That's my expectation.
Yeah, so my thought would be a typical game flow at this moment in time. So keep in mind, we have spring practice and summer camp to get more details on this. But I think you're looking 12 carries a game for Slade, 8 for Brown, and 2 or 3 for Kane. Maybe you use Devin Ford, maybe you don't. But, you know, Penn State, and obviously it's game flow dependent. There'll be times when you had, you know, 90 snaps in a game. There'll be games where you have 40. So it'll obviously, you know, rotate based off of that. But to me, I think the one thing that we saw with my, and I go back, it stands out distinctively in my mind. The one thing that I remember about Miles Sanders is that Fiesta Bowl where he knew that he was going to get snaps and it wasn't just helter skelter and, you know, okay, hey, Saquon needs a minute, or Saquon blew his shoe out, or Saquon needs his shoe tied, so you go in and get a carry, you know. excuse me, that didn't work so well for Miles Sanders. But when in the Fiesta Bowl, when he knew which series were his, he was a standout. And I'll just be curious to see if Penn State does a similar thing where they tell these guys, look, Ricky's going to get – or Ricky or Journey or whoever wins the starter's going to get these three. Then we're going to go to you, and then we're going to go back to the starter for two, then we're going to go to you. And sort of if they do it like that, or if they are a little bit more – I don't want to say unprepared with it, but maybe more unorganized with it. And you know, they do it sort of not flying by the seat of their pants, but whenever they feel it's right to make a change, they do, as opposed to having a plan.
And the I have mixed feelings about the idea of the hot hand, just for that reason. I think sometimes you just need a pecking order so everybody is pretty clear what the expectations are. If you're the guy who's on the field for the first series of the game, are you wondering, okay, if I miss an assignment, or if I have an imperfect run, or if I don't read a block correctly, or if I don't have success on three carries, am I going to be out of the game?
Right.
I don't know if that's conducive. So I think that you're going to see some kind of established pecking order. I'm just going to go on the record and say that I'm not.
We should have a siren or something for that.
I mean, it's funny. Like I say, we're going to go on the record. This is literally being recorded and posted on the internet. Like it's going to live. It's everything we do is on the record. I don't have to say make a special announcement. But I am not fully buying the Barton Simmons, Journey Brown hype train. He's going to take over the backfield. I'm not buying into that yet.
So
I could be proven wrong, but I don't know. I know it was small doses, and he wasn't really wasn't afforded a chance to get into rhythm and blah blah blah. But I won't believe that he's better than Ricky Slade till I see it on the field.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you at this point, 100%. I mean, I think honestly that Journey Brown, there were times last year where the flashes added up to something that could make him a very good player at the next level. But I just – how do we go from a guy that was still trying to figure out how to be a running back based on just being like a track athlete in high school? You know, how did we go from that to this, I guess, is the question I'm trying to figure out. What was the big step that he took that made him a Big Ten ready running back that could be a starter? I don't know if we've seen that from him. We know Ricky Slade is that. So I agree with you. I'd like to see it. But it is interesting as we head into the spring here that, you know, again, Barton Simmons is a sharp guy. See, I mean, he writes a lot of very good stuff for CBS Sports.
I'm a big fan of Barton
Simmons.
So
am I. Yeah. And so I don't think he just threw it against the wall for the heck of it. He only picked 13 players in college football. For Journey Brown to be one of them says something, but I'm with you. I want to see it in action first.
Yeah, and really, if that is true, then I still think we're in that him and Ricky Slade will be on the same level, kind of thing. You still have CJ. We got a lot of questions about CJ Holmes, and we don't really know the answers.
Yeah,
those.
I don't.
We'll start to learn.
Talk back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think we'll start to learn about that. But as of this very moment, how on earth is he going to be better than Devin Ford, Noah Kane, Journey Brown, and Ricky Slade? I would be stunned.
Goes back to the transfer question. We can get into that in the next segment.
Well, we'll see what comes out of it. Ask Greg is coming up after this. Your Penn State football and recruiting questions.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.